I have found her to be very, very real and encouraging. And as a matter of fact, Tassie, when I was working on this last night, honestly, I was thinking of you. I really was. But I didn't know you were going to be here because you're not a mops. You don't have a preschooler. So I was really surprised to see her. But Jamie is right. That group, when I joined WOW, Michelle's in our group now. That initial group for me was such a blessing. And people had been telling me about it, but I was tutoring homeschoolers for a while and didn't have the ability to. But it changed my life. And I led small groups for years at Dallas Seminary, and somehow I opened up in that group in ways I hadn't. And I'm telling you, and I'm not, honestly, Tassie, you had a big part to do with it, because I respected her, and she was just real, and she would talk, and I said, oh my gosh, you had that trouble too? And, you know, all of a sudden, I felt like she was approachable. And so Women of the Word has been a blessing to me, and Jamie has been a blessing. And at first, when Jamie said, could you come to our MOPS group, I have to confess I was hesitant, but I said yes, and we'll see what God has for us today. But thank you for being here, and I'm seeing more and more wild faces, so that's encouraging for me. Jamie told me that the theme for this year was friendships. And I was thinking about friendships and the fact that we all need friends, and each of us is a friend to somebody. And I was thinking about what we can do and how we can talk about that. And I decided that I want to encourage us for this year to fortify our friendships, to fortify our relationships, to fortify the gifts of people in our lives. Every time you look around, you see the word fortified. Just look on your cereal boxes, and fortified with B12, fortified with niacin, fortified with iron. You know, to fortify is to build up, is to enhance, is to make better. And we live in an age where we fortify our bodies, right? We go to the gym, we walk. We're told as women that we need to have enough calcium and magnesium. We need to be healthy. We fortify our homes. We try to protect it, to keep it safe. And with the problems we've been having on Wall Street, we fortify our finances. We look for ways to make our money work better for us, to find a way to stretch our dollar. If you're not stretching your dollar, then talk to me, because I want to find out why you're not trying to do that, because everybody is trying to stretch their dollar and to make their dollar go further because of the economy in which we're living in. So we're all fortifying the things we have. But sad to say, many of us are not fortifying our relationships. And we're not building them up in ways we can. Just go on any particular day, you're bombarded, and I'm bombarded with information. We read the blogs. We listen to the news. We read the magazines. We read the health journals. We're always looking for ways to better ourselves and to become better informed. And with the all the things that come at us on a regular basis, and trying to maintain our homes and trying to maintain our families and trying to do the things that we have to do, it is easy to neglect our friendships. We tell ourselves that we have time, that we will do it next week or next month. And, you know, when I first moved here, when my husband, he had moved here first for a job, and, you know, honestly, the first time I came to Nashville, I thought, this is not for me. I went on that little strip, and I thought, good grief. I mean, no way. I said, is there a mall around here? I thought to myself, the relationship is going to end, because I really did. I flew to Atlanta. I drove to Atlanta, then flew back to Dallas. I was living in Dallas at the time. And I told myself, and I really did in my heart, I can't do it. It's like going back in time. But anyways, you know, love won out. Love did win out. And I moved here. And little did I know that it would grow on me, and that this little place, keeps me busy. Honest, and I didn't know that life could be busy in Niceville, but it has been busy, And I have to watch my time because the time goes by so fast. But, you know, honestly, if we're intellectually honest, we'll tell ourselves and we'll realize that we are not here forever and that our friends are not going to always be there to answer our phone call or return our phone messages. And if you just ask the military families, the families I have so much respect for, they'll tell you because they have to move all the time and they develop relationships and they develop friendships only to move again. And I find that very difficult. But our friends are not always going to be there. Our relationships are not always going to be the way we want them to be. They change. People move away. People pass on. And so we have to find ways to fortify the friendships that we do have. When I looked in the dictionary to have a definition for the word friend, it said that a friend is a person who is attached to another by affection. A friend is a supporter. A friend is a patron. In the Encyclopedia of Illustrations, they defined a friend as in this way. A friend is one who multiplies joys and divides grief. A friend is one who understands our silence. And this one touched my heart. It says a friend is one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. Recently I read an email that said, friends are like balloons. Once you let them go, you can't get them back. And I think that's true to some degrees. So if friendship is valuable, and we all would attest that friendship is valuable, then the question that comes to my mind is, why don't we handle them with more care? Why don't we invest in them if we think they're valuable? And the only answer that I can find is procrastination. We don't handle them with more care, and we don't invest in them more because we tell ourselves that we have tomorrow, that we'll do it next week or next month. But the truth is, that's not so. So we're going to look at friendships in three areas and how we can fortify them. Friendships in our families, friendships in our community, and finally, friendships with our God, the God of the Bible. First and foremost is the friendships we cultivate and fortify in our families. You know, I am amazed, but I meet people who have been married for years, and they're married, but they're not friends. They live in the same home, and they do their routine, but they're strangers. Or they have some level of a relationship, but they're not friends. They might love each other, but they don't like each other. They don't spend time to just be with each other. And, you know, it takes two people to be friends, and both people have to want that. And so there may be a myriad of reasons why that may be. But I want to encourage us to develop friendships with our spouses, with our husbands, with our children, in our families, with our relatives. I married my husband. I had known him for 6 years. And honestly, I never thought anything about him. I just knew he was brilliant, and I thought he was like a computer geek, and, you know, he would loan me books, and the books I couldn't afford, I would borrow from him because he had them all. But it never dawned on me. It never appealed to me. And we got to know each other, and we became acquaintances, and we became friends. And I fell in love with my husband taking walks. He was trying to lose weight, and I said, oh, do I have the answer for you? But I said, you start to walk, and you will lose it. And so we started walking. And after I began to walk with him, I began to see that he had a big heart. And I began to see that there was a lot to him. And we began to pray together, pray about different things, for him, his family, and for me and my family. And it so happened that my grandfather was dying at the time. And he became a friend to me. And I married my best friend. And you know what? That doesn't mean we don't have struggles. You can ask Stassi. Because when you're friends with someone, you see, you're comfortable with them. And you know they're going to be there for you. So they'll be the first one you yell at. They'll be the first one you frown to because you know you're safe. So we've had our struggles. And I'm not a marriage counselor, and I don't have a lot of answers, but I do know that when you're friends with your spouse, it just enhances the relationship. And perhaps if you don't have that level of intimacy or friendship that you want, this is the year to begin to strive for that. We strive for many things. We try to keep our homes intact. How about really working to keep our marriages really intact, friendship-wise, to build that marriage where you want to talk, where talking is not a chore, where talking is not a duty, where talking is a joy. It's possible. And if you don't have that, strive for that because it's attainable. And God wants that for you. God wants that for you and your children. If you don't have that level of friendship, and that's where I was thinking about you, Taffy, because I was thinking, you know, moms should be friends with their kids, and it doesn't mean that you don't discipline and that you don't have the boundaries. No, no, no. What I'm talking about is that safe place where you become a safe place where they can come, where they can be, where they can confess, where they can confide, and you can discipline, and you can chastise, and you can challenge, but you can do it in a way that's encouraging and that's loving, and still maintain your hat and your title as mom, and have the respect and gain the respect. But the kids need to know that at the end of the day, they have a friend. When the school people have been unkind, and when they have been misunderstood and mistreated, that when they come home, they have a friend. And you know what? It's really important to have that. It's really important to build that. And that's when I was thinking of you, because when you talk about your Jason and seizing those moments and using those drive times to build in, to do teaching, to teach informal lessons that last a lifetime, that's friendship. That's cultivating friendship. And I tell you, it has to be intentional because it doesn't happen by chance. Our families are biggest and I think our strongest ally. Because at the end of the day, who do you have but family? Really? Who do you have? Who do we have but our families? And yet, we often do not invest in them the way we should or the way we could. And if they're our strongest ally, and the ones to whom we rely or on whom we rely, then when you feel like you're not getting the return that you deserve, keep folding the clothes. Keep saying one more prayer. Keep writing the notes. Keep loving and keep forgiving. And you know, we see our husbands, those of us who are married, every day, but it's still kind of cute to send an email once in a while or a text message just to say I'm thinking of you or I love you or stick a little note where you know he'll see it. It makes a difference. And you know what? Even if you don't get a response, do it now and again. Don't think you're going to get the responses all the time, especially with kids and teenagers. You won't get your returns now, but keep doing those little things and one day you will. So we fortify the relationships in our family, and we fortify the relationships in our community. I am big on community, and it wasn't always this way, because I grew up in a family where my mom always taught me that whatever happened at home stayed at home, that whatever happened in our family was nobody's business, and you just didn't tell anybody anything. And for the longest time, that's how I lived. I lived where, you know what, I kept everything inside, and I didn't share a whole lot. But I'm beginning to realize as I grew, and thanks to the seminary and the groups that I was a part of, that God's heart is all about community. We are at MOPS today, and you know what, I had no idea there were so many women. Now I know on Tuesdays, or I think it's every other Tuesday, why I would sometimes go to work out downstairs, and I'd see all these cars, and I couldn't find a parking spot at the front. I soon realized that it was a MOPS group. And, you know, you all come all the time, and possibly you have friendships here, but if you don't, I want to encourage you to find a friend. Because I look at this room, and there is a friend for you. If you don't have a close friend, you can have one by the time MOPS breaks up for the summer. Because God's heart is friendship. And, you know, from the very beginning, when God created man and woman, his heart was community. In the very beginning, in Genesis, where the Bible says, it says, God said, let us make man in our own image. The us there speaks of God's plurality, God's Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is community in and of itself. Before there ever was time, God was. And he existed three in one. And I find that to be very powerful. And so from the very beginning, God, in God, there was community. In Genesis 1 and verse 1 and 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And in chapter 22, you know, In chapter 2, verse 18, I noticed something that I hadn't noticed before, is that God had a friendship with Adam. And you say, okay, am I stretching that? I don't think so. Because in chapter 2 and verse 16, I see where God was communing with Adam. He says to Adam, and God said, he commanded the man, saying, from every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. So God was talking to him. God was communicating with him in some way. They had communion. And then, you know what? God, everything was perfect. So I'm sure there was a friendship there. And I'm thinking, perhaps they talked. Perhaps they laughed. You know, I think about that day when we'll see God. I mean, face to face. And we'll talk with him. And we will laugh with him. I mean, imagine how wonderful that will be. And then God said, it is not good for a man to be alone, so I will make him a helper suitable for him. God had communion. He had friendship with Adam. And, you know, when the first couple sinned, that friendship was broken. But God did not abandon them. What did he do? He went looking for his friends. Imagine that. He went looking for them. Because in chapter 3, verse 8, it says, and they, meaning Adam and Eve, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Who called to whom? Adam was hiding, but God called toward his friend. God called for Adam. That's what God does. He is ever calling us. Ever looking for us, ever reaching toward us. And you know, I think about the story of the prodigal son. And the father in that story, in Luke 15, is a type of God, because the son had left home, and left home in the most disrespectful way by demanding his inheritance, and his father had not yet passed away. It was uncultured to do that, to ask for his inheritance. And he went away and spent it all and wasted it. And the father was looking. The Bible says the father saw him when he was afar off in the distance. And the father ran towards him. He didn't wait till he got to the door. He reached out to him. And that is what community is. We look out for one another. We strengthen one another. We seek the good for each other. And you know, we live in a world where everything is anti that, right? People look for themselves. They seek to build up themselves. They seek only to invest in themselves. But that's not God's way. God's way is that we look out for one another. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we should consider each other more than we do ourselves. More importantly than ourselves. And you know what, this is touching me right now, but God is all about community. He is all about friendship. He is all about reaching out and helping up the other person. And you know, it seems like a good message that's just to motivate people. But it's God's heart. It's God's heart that we invest in one another as friends, that we build one another up, that we build up our families, that the people he gives to us, because the friends that we have, the friends that we meet here, it's God's gift to you. People don't come in your life by coincidence, because I believe in a God who is providential. He created you before there ever was time. And he's working out your life one detail at a time. And he does not make mistakes. And he places you at strategic times, in strategic places, with strategic people. And the people that touch your life, do not take them for granted. The things that they help you to see about yourself, the good things, the bad things, because friends are people who are real. Think about it. The people that touch us the most, they're not perfect people, but they're people who love you in spite of, who are real with you, who are honest with you, who are non-judgmental, but who are honest and truthful. If you have a friend who only tells you the good things, get another. I'm not saying to throw that friend away, but you need people who are going to tell you the truth, or else you won't grow. I surround myself with people who tell me the truth. I want the truth from them. I want them to challenge me. I want them to stretch me. I want them to help me become a better person. I'm not friends with people who are just like me, because how will I grow? I'm always seeking to be friends with people who are better than me, so I can aspire to be better than I am now. Because the moment we stop growing is the moment we cease to be as effective as we possibly can be. So don't limit yourself to people who are just where you are. And I was asking Jamie, I said, who is that lady? She goes, she said, oh, she's a mentor mom. I said, what's Tassie doing here? She said, oh, she's a mentor mom. And then I saw a few other ladies. She goes, oh, they're mentor moms. You know what that tells me? That these women have mommed their ways through. And now what are they doing? They're giving back. And at some point, you too, whether in this atmosphere, in this little subculture or not, at some point, you too will be able to invest in another mom, a mom who has never walked that path. But you have walked the path. So you have something to give. That is community. Community is concentric. It's like a circle. You start at one end and you work yourself around. And there is no end to that circle. Because if community is flowing rightly, no one gets left behind. We are not going to leave one another behind. We are going to help one another. And you know, last week, there was a friend of mine, and we've been trying to get together for at least 2 months. And the times I'd call her, she couldn't do it. And the times she would call me, I couldn't do it. So finally I said, okay, let's meet somewhere. And we decided to meet at Waffle House, because they're open all the time. And we got there about 8:45, and I thought it would be maybe an hour because I was planning to go to the gym afterwards. I looked at my watch, and it was 11:45, and my husband kept calling and said, "What are you guys doing? What are you talking about?" But you know what? We were catching up. And, you know, I said to her, I said, "You know what? I decided," and I did, because there was a part of me that said, "Just wait till next week." But I thought the next week there will be something else. And I thought to myself, really, I want to invest in this person because she has been a blessing to me. She has touched my life, and I want to be there. I want to get to know her. And she was going through some difficulties, and I thought, I am going to make the time. And whatever it takes, whether it's once a month that you can get together with your friend, maybe every other month, just do it. Send the email. It doesn't have to be long. Write a card. People don't write cards anymore. Take the time to get a 44-cent card at Walmart. They do have them, an 88-cent card. And write, put your thoughts in words and stick a stamp on there and send it off to a relative. Send it off to a friend. You will make their day. And perhaps they will get it at a time where they really need it. Do that this year. Say thank you in words, not just over the phone. Write a thank you note. Tell someone you really appreciated the meal or the whatever they gave to you. It will touch their lives. And finally, I want to encourage you to fortify your friendship with God. God is a God of balance, and it's easy for us, especially me, to get off balance. But Satan, and you know, Satan wants us to be off balance. Because when we get so busy with our homes and our families and our friends and our things, we can forget to spend time with God. Or we can spend the minimal amount of time necessary to feel godly, you know. A quick prayer here and a quick prayer there and a quick word there and a quick word there. And you're on the go. But you know, God wants more than that. He wants to have real fellowship with us. And it takes time. And that's why Women of the Word is one avenue through which you can help to develop and cultivate that discipline. It may not be Women of the Word for you. It may be a time, maybe that's a time where that's not convenient for you. But find a study that will help you to cultivate the discipline to stay in the Word. Because, you know what? You may not feel like you need God now, but you will need Him. And that's why it's so important that you fortify your friendships too, because when all goes down for you, your friends will have your back. They'll be the ones praying for you. They'll be the ones interceding for you. Your family will be the ones praying for you. And that's why you have to fortify those friendships. But nothing is more important than fortifying your friendships with God, having that intimacy with Him. When you have a love affair with God, it changes your life. And I know that what I'm talking about. There was a time when I wanted only a little bit of God, because I really had a divided heart, but I didn't know it. But I didn't have an appetite for more of Him. I wanted just a little of Him to keep me feeling godly. But I'm at the point in my life, by His grace, where I want all of Him. It doesn't mean I don't stumble. It doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. It does mean that I don't have problems. But I love Him. Grow to love God. Grow to find Him just awesomely indispensable. If you are at a point in your life where you're not sure if you want Him, I want to encourage you to want Him. Pray that God will give you an appetite for Him. Because the truth is, the Bible says, none can come to God unless the Holy Spirit draws him. Begin to seek Him. Because the Bible says, all who seek me will find me. Begin to want Him. Begin to desire Him. And even when you don't feel like you want Him, tell Him you need Him, because you do need Him. And you may not feel like you need Him now, but you will. You may not feel like you need him for you, but you will need him for your husband, or you will need him for your kids. You will need him. And he is ever there. God is a God of community. God loves us. He wants a friendship with us. He wants to be close to us. And do not go throughout the day, any day, without taking the time to thank him. My friend Judy, I went to her house right before I went to go visit my family. She lives in Swift Creek, and I tried to call her, and I didn't get her at home. But I thought, you know, I'm going to swing by there anyway, because I had something for her. And her cars, well, she has two cars. Her cars were there, and her husband's van wasn't there, so I knew he was away. And I thought, oh, yeah, we get to visit, just the two of us, and talk, girl talk, which I knew that if the husband was away, her son would be away too. And, you know, he always wants to, when we get together to talk, he always wants to be in the middle of us. So I thought, I was thinking, he's a teenager, but I used to teach him. And, you know, we have a good relationship. And he always says, Miss Powell, and he wants to tell me everything. But I thought, it will just be Judy and me. And Judy comes to church here. And you know what? I waited and I waited and I rang the bell. And I thought, well, she must be downstairs or maybe she's in the shower. And I waited and waited. And finally, I thought, I need to find her phone number, her cell phone. And I dug it up in my bag. And she picked up. And I said, Judy, where are you? She goes, I'm in New Hampshire. I said, New Hampshire? I said, I've been sitting out in front of your house. She goes, Janet, my brother is 55. I just saw him at Christmas. He is Mr. Athletic Guy. She says, if you look at him, he looks good. She said he was skiing cross-country and just dropped dead. I said, what? She said he just turned 55 right at Christmas. And he has everything. He's an engineer. And she said, you know, I just saw him. He looks good, he's healthy, he skis, he does this, he hikes. And she said he was skiing, and his friends were going down the slope, and they didn't realize, and they went back after not seeing him for a while, and he was dead in the snow. I said, no. She said, I'm in New Hampshire. And, you know, that jolted me. It really did. Because, first of all, my friend was hurting, and I couldn't do anything about it. I was at a loss for words. And then it reminded me just how fragile life really is. Just how unexpected and how short it is. Because the truth is, it may seem long, but the moment we lose somebody, even if they're 85 years old, it seems so short. It really is, isn't it? It's short. And so, I want to encourage us to fortify our friendships in our families, in our community, and with our God. You know, in John, it says, in John chapter 12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus says, you are my friends. You are my friends. He says to us, God is saying today to each of us, you're my friend. He wants friendship with you. And when we don't cultivate that, we rob him. Why would you rob your Creator? The one who died for you. The one who every day gives you breath. The beautiful children that you have. The health that you enjoy. The home that you have. Don't rob him. Make him your friend because he loves you so, so, so very much. Let us pray. Dear Father, you are good, and we love you, and we thank you, and we admire you. I pray, Father, that this year we will grow to love you more, that we, each of us, in each of our individual walk with you, would get closer to you, would get to know you more, would thank you more, would recognize your deeds of kindness more readily, and would seek to be like you. Father, I pray that you will bless us as women, bless us in our homes, bless us in our families, bless us in our community, and bless us as we seek to live the life that you have designed for each of us to live. We ask this in your great name. Amen.